All right, welcome. This is now the second hour of the Thomas Umstadt Jr. Being on the Afternoon Drive show. With me in the studio is David Bruce, and we have a special guest. This is a new segment called Austin City Lights, and it's where we talk with regular Christians who are shining Christ's light in Austin. And if you have somebody that you think would be a great person for this segment, we would love to talk to them. Give us a call at 512-452-1120. We won't put you on the air. You can talk to our producer in the studio, and he'll get the name and contact information of the person that you think will be good. We're not looking for super Christians. We're looking for regular folks who are obedient to Christ's call. And with us in the studio today is Heather Gardner. Heather, welcome to KTXW on today's Christian Talk 1120 The Bridge.
Thank you for having me, Thomas.
So tell me a little bit about your story. Where did you come from? Heather is the executive director of the Central Texas Coalition for Life. And I know you started off as just a regular college student. What happened?
I did. If I could go back a little bit before that, actually, I grew up in a devout Christian home. My parents were Catholic, and I was baptized Catholic. And we were always pro-life, but we never talked about it. So it was just understood. And then I never really started looking into pro-life issues until, I guess I was in junior high school. The earliest memories I have are actually of my grandmother, who had this bumper sticker on her car that said, "Abortion stops a beating heart." And I remember, I don't know how old I was probably 11 or 12, and I asked what that meant, and she explained it to me in an age-appropriate way, and it was simple from that point on. Well, that's wrong, so why would we do that? And so then, once the internet started becoming more available, I would do research papers and any opportunity that I could in junior high and high school where we could write a paper on a topic of our choosing, I would normally pick that because I was so, it was just so obvious to me that abortion was wrong and that we should speak out against it. And I still didn't know very much at all at that point. I got to college. I was blessed to attend Texas A&M University.
Whoop!
And
oh,
thank
please.
You, David.
People are whooping in their cars
friend.
All over Austin
that's right.
Right now.
That's right. Yes, that's right. We are not alone.
And I married an Aggie. I will never be able
too.
To escape the whooping.
See,
and
there
the
you go.
Hissing and the sawing of varsity's horns off. Sorry, please continue.
It's okay. I won't hiss you. We're friends. But anyways, I was blessed to attend that, and I got involved with this organization called the Coalition for Life, which regularly had outreach at the church that I attended, which was St. Mary's Catholic Center in College Station. Very huge, amazing church. And the Coalition for Life said, you know, we pray outside of our local abortion facility. We talk to women. We hand information about other places in the community. And when I was first introduced to that, that frightened me to no end. I thought, okay, I'm pro-life, but there's no way I could ever go and stand outside of an abortion facility. And with all the research that I had done prior to that, years prior to that, that was new to me. I had never heard of people doing that.
Or their picture of that is like really angry men with like bloody pictures of fetuses. And they're like, you're going, you know, to hell if you. And it's just like, that is not exactly a winning message. That's not going to get somebody to be like, oh, please tell me more, you angry mean person. So keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of put that off for a while, and I kept getting gentle invitations from different friends who had been involved in that. And one day I was actually on a bus with a group of students. I was a freshman at the time, and we were headed to a retreat. We were going to go actually put on a retreat for some high school students. I was very involved in this retreat team, and we drove by the abortion facility, and I saw people there, and I was really struck by that. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing that those people are going out there and just peacefully being out there and witnessing. And so I went and I prayed I think it was 2004. It could have been 2005. I can't remember exactly the first time. But I prayed, and then I didn't do it again for a while. And then I had friends that started suggesting that I become a sidewalk counselor. And a sidewalk counselor is someone who is trained to learn about the resources in the community that are available for pregnant women, especially low-income pregnant family, pregnant women and their families. And not only that, but just to talk to them about things that they may not have been made aware of, like fetal development and different things like that. And there's a lot of risks involved as well that they're not made aware of. And so just to peacefully offer that to them so that they at least have an informed choice before they go into the facility. And I just thought, you guys are crazy. I have no idea what makes you think I would be good at that. And this is actually kind of a pattern in my life that I won't get into. But I had a pattern of being offered opportunities and basically saying, no, why would you ask me that? Right. That's not me.
And there's no like road to Damascus moment where you're like a normal college student. And then you're like, now I'm going to be this hardcore pro-life person. It was just one step at a time. It's like, oh,
right.
I'll just go pray one time.
Right. It was baby steps.
Right.
Exactly. And very appropriate in this. And so I finally, after what seemed to be less and less gentle, I guess I was just more and more annoyed by the invitations by my friends that I really loved. I thought, okay, I will go to a sidewalk counselor training and that's that. And then they can't say I haven't gone and then that'll shut them up. That was my plan. I'm not going to actually do it. I'm just going to go to the training so they can shut up. And so I went to the training. And that was in 2007 when I went. And I was completely convicted in that training. I came to the conclusion that there are so many lives that are being lost in our community and hardly anyone is speaking out for them. So no matter what my fears are, I need to do that. I need to step out in faith. And clearly God is calling me to do this. And so I started sidewalk counseling and I started going on a regular basis. And then the next step after that, after doing that for a couple of years, you know, multiple times a month, usually at least once or twice a week, I was offered a job full time with the Coalition for Life. It was the Brazos Valley Coalition for Life. And again, I was like, no, why would you think that
I'm just a volunteer.
I'm just a volunteer. And are you guys really like hard up for staff members? I mean, all those things were legitimately going through my mind. Like, you guys must seriously be desperate. I don't know what makes you think I would be able to do this. And so I turned them down three times. They offered me the job three times and I was like, no. And then, of course, I prayed about it. But every time I prayed, it was more me like, I'm not doing this, God, you know, because that's typical. I just tell God my will instead of asking him for his. And so I prayed about it a lot. And I got to a point where I was starting to apply for several other jobs and I wasn't really getting anywhere. Now, I received degrees in sociology and vocal performance, which have nothing to do with each other. And so I really didn't have like a huge straightforward plan at all of what I was going to do. I just went along and found my place and found my interests and tried to find, you know, my skills and utilize them as best I could. So I had already been singing for different sporting events and retreats and weddings and stuff like that. But that was a side thing. That wasn't something I thought I could do as a full-time career. And so finally I took that as okay, maybe God wants me to work at the Coalition for Life. Okay, I'll say yeah. And I kept saying like, okay, now are you sure you haven't found anybody else? Like, are you sure no one else is up for the job? You know, and it was like, no, we don't want to ask anyone else. And I'm like, are you crazy? Like, no pressure. So I accepted the job, and not knowing how long I would work there, I thought maybe I'll work here for a year or a couple of years or something. And as I became more and more involved in I guess, obviously a volunteer position is different than a full-time position. And so there was a lot of hardships that I went through and a lot of spiritual warfare, even more so than as a volunteer. And God brought me through all of that. I mean, with surrounding me with the best people. And so eventually I transferred to the Austin area, to Central Texas Coalition for Life, and eventually accepted a position for being executive director. And I've been doing this for several years now. So it's just, it's amazing. And God is nothing short of miracles in this ministry.
So you just volunteered. Well, first you just showed up.
I just showed up. Told him that's all I'm going to do. Don't ask any more of me.
There's a lot to be said about just showing up. I remember hearing when I was growing up, the world is run by the people who show
up. Just show up.
And then you were just obedient with each additional step, whether it was being a volunteer or, you know, working full time and then finally running on the Central Texas Coalition for Life here in Austin, and which is really cool. We got a text actually from somebody who's listening as you're sharing your story. And he said, your quote, we're always pro-life, but we never talked about it. It's like, what a powerful statement to a parent. I wonder how many issues that we're dealing with today could have been avoided through a simple conversation. And often that first step of obedience is just that parent or that aunt or uncle having that conversation about why we believe that unborn children are real people.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what the Central Coalition for Life does now.
So the Central Texas Coalition for Life has a simple mission of ending abortion peacefully and prayerfully in Central Texas. That's our shortest tagline. And so the way that we are doing that more specifically is focusing on prayer outside of our abortion facilities, a peaceful presence. Just like what I did in College Station and what hundreds of people have done from there and all over and thousands all over the world. And again, it's that approach that is peaceful and loving. We're not there to water down the truth. We're not there to hide that we are Christians by any means. I mean, we're out there praying, so it's kind of hard not to know that. But we understand, especially this day and age with this culture, that we have to do as Christ does, in that we have to reach people where they are. And so, like you said earlier, that aggressive, angry tactic, that's not really going to work for very many people. And that's really not what Christ did. I mean, it's not to say that he wasn't firm or anything like that. Of course he was. There's plenty of examples in the Bible where he was. But we want to have that opportunity to at least get to know that person or get them to come and talk with us, for them to feel that we are approachable. And this has proven to work so much better over the years. And I think it is a huge reason why the pro-life movement is becoming more appealing, especially to millennials, to younger generations, and why the pendulum is swinging in this country towards a pro-life issue.
Yeah, I will say, having gone out to pray, that it is an incredible experience. And for those of you who've never prayed in front of an abortion clinic, I challenge you, go either on your own or with an organization like the Central Texas Coalition for Life. They're great ones to go with, though, because you'll be with friends and they'll give you guidelines and it's very safe and they'll show you where to stand and that's so you don't get in trouble. But I challenge you to do it. Your heart will be changed. And it's amazing what happens when you just pray and trust God to take care of the rest. Heather, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today. You've been listening to Thomas Umstadt Jr. and David Bruce on today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge.
You can live without oxygen for 10 minutes, without water for about 5 days, but you can't live without hope. Your hope button on your radio is today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge.
Take a look around town with the bridge traffic. We have a few accidents, including North I-35 Service Road northbound and Grand Avenue Parkway, Manchac Road and Ravenscroft Drive, and Research Boulevard southbound and Thunder Creek at the Research southbound ramp. Over in the Austin weather area forecast, it's going to be a high of 88 degrees tomorrow on Tuesday with 40% chance of showers. On Wednesday, with a high of 90 degrees, it's going to have 20% chance of showers. And on Thursday, with 30% chance of showers, it's going to be a high of 92 degrees. Low for tonight is going to get down to 72 degrees, but right now it is 90 here in Austin, 90 in Georgetown, 84 in Burnett, and 88 in San Marcos. Don't go anywhere, because Thomas Umstadt will be back on the Bridge 1120, today's Christian Talk, in just a few minutes.
Mortgage rates are rising since the election. This is Jason Dixon with Churchill Mortgage, here to tell you that if you own your home and you've been on the fence about refinancing, this is the best time to pick up the phone and make sure you take advantage of the historic low rates that still exist before they rise further. The markets are so volatile. Call Churchill Mortgage today and see if a simple mortgage refinance can't save you and your family a fortune. With mortgage rates still at historic lows, you have the ability to potentially lower your interest rate, lower your monthly house payment, or even potentially reduce your loan terms, saving tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest. Don't delay and don't wait because mortgage rates are rising. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 512-862-4663. That's 512-862-4663. Or ChurchillMortgageTexas.com, as heard on the Dave Ramsey Show for over 24 years. NMLS 1591-111 Congress Avenue, Suite 400, Austin, Texas, 78701, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, David Bruce, Program Director of the Bridge 1120, here to talk about HeartFlex. The New England Journal of Medicine shows that you can reduce death by disease by just simple exercise. So what is HeartFlex? It's a simple, lightweight device just to get you moving. It stimulates your circulation, increases overall fitness, arm toning, cardio boosting, strength training, great for seniors and people with special needs. It increases that blood flow for dementia. If you know someone in a wheelchair or have muscular dystrophy, sports, get that warm-up going with a simple cardiovascular workout. Maybe it's therapy you need. It lowers your blood sugar, moves those wrists, their hands. If you've had surgery like breast cancer, it gets those muscles moving with just simple movement. You can learn all the benefits by going to HeartFlex.com. It's a simple exercise product, comes with an instructional DVD and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Hey, we're all mortal, but regular exercise adds hours to your life. Get active with HeartFlex.com. HeartFlex.com.
All right. Welcome. You're listening to today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge. My name is Thomas Umstadt Jr. with me in the studio.
And I'm David Bruce.
As always, is David Bruce. And we've asked Heather to stick around for a little bit longer as we chit-chat here and share your ride home on this beautiful Monday morning. Now, I was driving the other day.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Did you do good? In my very own car. Did you hit anybody?
I did not do good.
Success!
No.
I'm proud of you.
So I was feeling like a very good person because I'd gone and picked up flowers for my wife. I was taking them to her at the office.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, but I was driving a different way to work than I normally do.
Did you need to ask for forgiveness on Forgiveness Monday?
Just let me tell this. So anyway.
That makes me wonder, what did you do?
Pick up flowers when A, you did something wrong, or B, you're newlywed.
I was newlywed. It was just because flowers that I bought. So I wasn't asking apology for anything. So okay. I'm driving, and I normally take Manchac to work, but instead I take Westgate.
Good. You're not stuck in a rut.
Well, so Westgate, for those of you who don't know, has a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit, while Manchac has a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit. So there I am driving at 47
Thomas.
Is what I was clocked at, and I get stopped for my very first in my life speeding ticket. So I had gone – I'm 31 years old and never gotten a speeding ticket before.
Wow.
What?
And
hey, I get one every 3 years.
Yeah.
So I had like zero excuses because the guy was right there underneath the speed limit sign. I saw the sign. And so he pulls me over. He's very professional, the officer. And he scans my little thing on my car. Mm-hmm. And he's got this like smartphone app now that they use for giving tickets. And I'm like, what has happened?
Isn't
super
that
high tech. And he's like, oh, don't worry. You
That's
can deal
amazing.
With it all online. And
yeah,
I was like, oh,
exactly.
I can deal with it all online.
As long as you plead guilty.
So I go to the website and finally find the right page on the website and realize that, no, actually, you cannot deal with it all online. What you can do online is download a PDF that then you have to mail into the courthouse to ask to do defensive driving.
Well, that's kind of online. You don't have to go down there.
Well, it's kind of online, except in order to fill it out, you have to get it notarized,
mm-hmm.
or you have to go by the court to have them stamp it.
Really?
And so
This depends on the county, but yes.
So, oh, wow. But not just notarized. You also have to photograph copy of the driver's license. This huge scavenger hunt. You're going all over
insurance.
Town to collect all
this
of these
things. This
is why
you should behave yourself in the first time.
Hey, I did good. I went a long time.
31 years is pretty good.
So anyway, I do the scavenger hunt. I'm filling out this form on my mm-hmm. computer, and I package it all up, and I mail it in, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this defensive driving. I haven't done defensive driving since I was in high school, and that was for the actual learning of it.
I always go to the comedy when it goes faster.
Yeah. So I'm sitting, and I'm waiting for the response. I get back the response, and I see that I typed the wrong date on the form. Instead of writing 2017, I wrote 1017. Now, instead of being like,
wow, that was a long time ago.
Not 2016, but
right,
2017.
Right.
Instead,
how did you get the chariot up to 45 miles an hour is what I want to know.
I had to really beat those horses, let me tell you. And so There's a whole lot of ways this could have gone. The city could have been like, all right, we see you meant 2017.
No,
we're going to file
the way it works.
No. So they issue me a letter. They write me a letter dated June 1 saying, please send us the form again, which is fine. But here's the kicker. By the way, if you don't get it back by June 15th, we'll issue a warrant for your arrest.
Awesome. I like that part.
Yeah. So they put it in an envelope and then they don't mail it. The postmark on the letter was not until June 9th. I didn't end up reading it. And by the time I read the letter, I'm like, I am going to jail. Like, why didn't you mail this to me on the first, like normal person?
Marriage changes everything in your life.
Yeah. These were the most expensive flowers I will have ever bought for my wife. So anyway, I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to be on the radio today and I might be in jail. I might go in and they're going to arrest me. Because, I mean, they're not playing around. Like, a warrant for your arrest.
Well, they don't drive out that day. They come back later.
Well, yeah, but anyway.
They wait till they stop you the next
time. So this morning, right. First thing in the morning, I go to the municipal court and I'm like, they are going to arrest me. This is good. So I go up to the first thing. I bring the envelope. The Austinites of goodwill disagree on how to say that word. And I present it and I'm like, y'all didn't give me enough time to fill this out. You waited 9 days to mail it. And the lady's like, oh, let me talk to my manager. So she sends me over to this other lady and she's like, let me call headquarters. They call headquarters and basically they're like, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. And I was like, is there a reason it took you 9 days to mail this? And they're like, I don't know. You can appeal to a judge if you'd like.
It was someone's lunchtime.
I don't have time to appeal to a judge. Anyway, so I ended up having to pay the full fee because part it was my fault. I typed the wrong date on the form.
You didn't put it in Roman numerals.
I should have. Who knows if you do that correctly or not. I get invited to weddings and it's got the Roman numerals. I have no idea when the wedding is. I have to do calculators and math and look up what the different symbols mean. It's like, I didn't take Roman in school. All I got in Latin was how to conjugate the word love. And I have not used that in very many opportunities in my life.
So did you go to jail?
No. Fortunately, they didn't arrest me. And I am still going to be able to take defensive driving. So I will be a more defensive driver.
See, I always just go down to the office. I laugh and joke with the lady, which is always a challenge.
Now,
don't smile.
they don't.
They don't.
There is no smiling.
They
know what? When I was there, I was not smiling because it is a municipal court. You take this seriously. This is for serious.
See, it's your first time. When you've been there as many times as I have, I know we're on a first name basis.
Oh, wow.
So Bob and Jenny, the Jenny of the Bob and Jenny show, that was a couple shows before this, I sat in with her, and she had a policy of challenging every ticket.
She did.
Whether
she
it was her
rebel.
Fault or not. I feel bad for the whole – because she knew all of the fine print. And if this had been her – in fact, if she's listening, she might call in and give me a piece of her mind. She's like, why did you? Because you could have won this. And, take it in, challenge the judge. But the way that I looked at it, my time is so precious right now between my job and the radio and spending time as a newlywed. It's like I don't want to spend a whole day to fight over a few dollars difference on a ticket. That's not going to make my life happier. And I'll stress about it because going before a judge is very scary. And that doesn't – anyway. So I'm trying to justify myself here.
Forget
why I didn't
it.
Do my civic
you
duty.
Were guilty.
And I was. I legitimately sped. There was no – I'm not going to be like, oh, well, I had some good excuse.
It is Confession Monday. Come on. Poor,
it is.
Let it
yeah,
go.
So
let
I'm
it
seeking
go.
No, it's Forgiveness Day. Today is Forgiveness Day, June 26th. So anyway.
I forgive him. Do you forgive him?
Sure. Why not?
We are all forgiven by
Jesus. I even got a ticket for riding a bicycle in this town.
In Austin?
Yes, in Austin.
Yeah,
how?
You can do that. Oh, yeah.
How? When I grew up, you could ride a bike either side. What? You just rode a bike on the road. Not anymore.
People.
You can ride a bike on the sidewalk. It's against the law here to ride a bike on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They will stop you and give you a ticket.
But you can weave in and out of traffic, apparently, and no one gives you a ticket.
You can be an idiot and kill yourself, but yeah. If you put that bicycle on the sidewalk, you get a ticket.
Hey, yes. On the plus side, we built you a $14 million bridge. You should be thanking us for that ticket. We are subsidizing your lifestyle. I didn't know I knew any of these biking people here in town, and I'm sitting across the table from one.
I've paid enough fees. I probably paid for that bridge myself.
Yeah. So, Heather, did you play the Super Nintendo at all when you were a kid?
Yes, I did.
Did you hear that Nintendo is releasing a new Super NES Classic Edition?
No, I did not. I don't want to know how much it costs. Please tell me it's expensive so I won't have to go and get it.
Her eyes got bigger when you said that.
So for those of you who don't know, the original Nintendo, like you can't buy them anymore. And the if you find one, they sell
ancient.
For more than what they sold initially.
Because
they're so much fun. The games are all still fun. Problem is you can't really plug them into your TV and they're all breaking down. And so Nintendo released last year their original classic Nintendo, but it was all the games came in this little, tiny little box and you just plugged it into your TV with HDMI. And they could not keep them in stock. The biggest complaint was that all of them sold. So it sold for like $70.
Nostalgia.
But the nostalgia, people were paying $200 and $300 from somebody else who bought
eBay.
It for $70. Yeah, on
oh,
eBay
wow.
and on Amazon. And
that's
finally, they just
entrepreneur.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they stopped making them because they couldn't keep them in stock.
Now, what and reasoning is that?
I don't know. They needed to make the Switch, but they've made it up to us, and so now the Super Nintendo, so the next generation,
yeah.
they're doing the same thing. So they're releasing. It's going to be like $79. Comes out in September, and it's going to have 21 games pre-installed on it, including Donkey Kong, Star Fox, Mega Man, and the original Super Mario Kart.
Okay, September what? I'm going to mark my calendar
Don't
for
worry. It won't be in stock.
It's already sold out now,
It's already sold out, yeah. Because it was so scarce and the other one, like they stopped making them before they filled the demand.
Yeah.
The line is going to be – so if you're wondering in late September why there's a line of nerds out of the door of every game shop, it's because they're waiting in line for 20-year-old games.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be such a great birthday gift for so many people too.
Yeah. It's kind of the perfect gift for like
she's
the
writing
millennial
down her birthday
in your life, or Gen Xer who grew up with a Super Nintendo. I never had one. I had to go to my friends across the street if I wanted to play.
Oh, deprived childhood.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It was so difficult. But I have no regrets and no complaints. You're listening to Thomas Umstead Jr. and David Bruce and special guest Heather Gardner on today's Christian Talk. 1120 The Bridge. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Today's Christian Talk, 1120, The Bridge.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Answering the hows, whats, and whys of life from God's Word.
Ask me the questions. I'm not afraid.
The Bridge, 1120.com.
And who are you?
Today's Christian Talk, 1120, The Bridge.
I guess that covers everything.
Taking a look around town with the bridge traffic, we have an accident on Manchac Road and Ravenscroft Drive. Over in the Austin weather area forecast, it's going to be a high of 88 degrees tomorrow on Tuesday with 40% chance of showers. On Wednesday, a high of 90 degrees with 20% chance of rain. And on Thursday, 92 degrees with 30% chance of showers. Low for tonight is going to get down to 72 degrees, but right now it is 90 here in Austin, 90 in Georgetown, 84 in Burnett, and 90 in Rollingwood. Don't go anywhere because Thomas Umstead will be back on the Bridge 1120, today's Christian Talk, in just a few minutes.
Just imagine what you could do with an extra thousand or two in your account every single month. Attend a free class and learn what the Wall Street boys hope you'll never find out. If you call now, the Online Trading Academy will comp the class and even send you home with a free $247 home study course. And then you can start to make your dreams a reality. Call 844-235-TRADE. 844-235-TRADE. Call 844-235-TRADE. That's 844-235-TRADE. Trade.
Join 400,000 people from around the world for an incredible two-day event, August 10th through the 11th, for world-class leadership training at the 2017 Leadership Summit, hosted in Austin at Greater Mount Zion Church. Speakers include Sheryl Sandberg, Chief Operating Officer of Facebook and named as one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People, Dr. Angela Duckworth, an American academic and psychologist, and Laszlo Bock, former Senior Vice President of People Operations at Google. Register by June 27th to receive the early bird rate of $199. Group discount rates are also available, so bring your team and save just $169 per person. That's August 10th through the 11th at Greater Mount Zion Church. Galen Clark, lead pastor. For more information, visit gmzaustin.org/GLS. That's gmzaustin.org/GLS.
$1.99, $1.99.
Penny here is trying to see how many ways she can say $1.99.
$199, 10 times 9. Plus.
Thankfully, there's only one way to say delicious deal. And that's Long John Silver's one-piece fish and fries for only $1.99. Come to Long John Silver's today for our delicious 100% Alaskan whitefish. Hand-dipped, cooked to golden perfection, and served with natural-cut fries, all for only a little help here, Penny?
$1.99. Wow! $1.99?
Yes, Penny, wow. Because at Long John Silver's, you deserve more.
Thank you. You're listening to today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr., and with me in the studio is David Bruce.
Hello, Thomas.
And Heather Gardner.
Howdy.
And New York, everyone's favorite state, has decided to sue pro-life prayer advocates. So the thing that Heather's doing, praying in front of abortion clinics, New York has decided to sue people like Heather. So the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, filed a lawsuit last week against several pro-life sidewalk counselors seeking to stop their activities and enact a 16-foot buffer zone around an abortion center. The suit claims that sidewalk counselors repeatedly harassed, threatened, and menaced patients, families, escorts, and clinic staff at the Choice Women's Medical Center in Jamaica, Queens. It's amazing how threatening people find just standing there and praying. Like, man, you're making prayer sound so insidious.
Well, it's awfully powerful.
That's right. And so anyway, he called their actions horrifying and illegal and claimed they made death threats to escorts, chased patients approaching the facility, leaned into cars to distribute pro-life literature, and blocked the paths of people seeking abortions with 3x5-foot signs depicting aborted babies. So it sounds like these are slightly different style of folks, perhaps, than what we have here in Austin. And there's this thing called freedom of speech that I think is kind of a key value here in the United States. The attorney for the pro-life advocates who were associated with the Church at the Rock in Brooklyn disputes those claims. Yeah, no kidding. I would dispute them, too. You've seen those kinds of claims against your group where people are just standing there praying and they claim all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to make distinctions. Obviously, I would want to look into each of the different stories and see what the details are. But we certainly would never advocate for any illegal activity, such as blocking the entrance to an abortion facility that is against a federal law. We would never advocate for screaming or for chasing people down, nothing like that. So I certainly hope that that group wasn't doing that. Now, when I notice a lot of times when abortion advocates and abortion facilities use phrases like harassing women and things like that, a lot of times you have to look a little deeper, dig a little deeper into, because they will claim that simply standing there and talking, having an open conversation with a client who often wants to have that conversation, they'll call that harassing. And what that really means is you're helping people reconsider their decision, and we don't like that you're taking away our business, which means you're taking away our money, and so we're going to try to threaten you and intimidate you.
Yeah, the women who go into those facilities, none of them want to be there. That was one of the things that really struck me when I would go out and pray, is that they were never smiling going in. And they were never smiling coming out. You know, for all of this talk about women's rights, it was never a celebration. You know, you'd think that there'd be at least a few of them that were kind of smugly walking in. But that's not the case, because they know what they're doing. And many of them are eagerly looking for somebody to talk them out of it, just anyone, because they're often getting a lot of pressure from the people in their lives, whether it's their boyfriend or their husband or their parents, who are pressuring them to do something that biology and nature and nurture has trained them that they don't want to do, like that mother instinct is very strong. And so they do want to stop and talk. And I've seen that happen where they see the folks out there praying and they'll come over, talk to them. And sometimes they'll get in a car and drive to a crisis pregnancy center.
Absolutely.
Have you seen that happen here in Austin?
Oh, tons of times. Yeah. So
what's the number of saved babies so far?
We know of 251 babies, women that have chosen life. And several of those women are actually pregnant with multiples. So we actually don't know the real number. We only know of the ones that have actually told us. And I say that all the time because I truly believe that that number is just barely scratching the surface of the real number. We'll know the real number when we get to heaven, but I don't think on this side of heaven we'll know just how much of an impact it's had. We've even had women that have walked up to us, either they've driven up or they parked nearby and walked up to us and said, I want you to know that however many years ago I was sitting in the waiting room in this place, and because you people were peacefully out here praying for me, I decided to keep my baby, and here's my baby. And they'll show us like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they never told anybody on that day that they chose life. So that always makes me wonder how many are out there that decided to choose life because we were there to support them and help empower them to make that decision, because that's usually what the message of the abortion industry is. You need this abortion. Otherwise, you can't fill in the blank. You can't continue. You can't proceed with your career. You can't finish school. You can't keep your boyfriend, husband. You can't X, Y, Z. And those are all very terrible things to tell a woman. They're not empowering at all. And they're filling them with these terrible lies that, like you said, go against our nature as women. So we want to be there to empower them, not to make their choice for them, but to at least give them the option, to at least give them information about all of their choices.
That's right. And that's the whole idea of freedom of speech, is that we can have that kind of dialogue. And one of the things I notice so often is the left is constantly trying to silence people that they disagree with. They create these zones, whether it's a free speech zone where you're not allowed to have free speech except for in this one little zone kind of in the back 40
right.
of the campus, or other ways. You know, the whole idea of political correct language is a way of saying you can't talk about certain topics or you can't use certain words as a way of kind of silencing their opposition. And, you know, that's typically only the thing that you do when you know your arguments aren't good.
Right. You resort to name-calling and violence is what we see a lot, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember when the KKK was wanting to have a rally back in, I don't know, the 70s or the 80s, and there was a challenge to it. They're like, we shouldn't let this rally happen. And it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court back then, when I don't remember what the date was, but they said the answer to free speech that you don't like is not censorship. It's more free speech. And the rally went on ahead, and there was, you know, a few dozen Klansmen there and tens of thousands of counter-protesters, and free speech happened, right? We made, I think, a much more powerful statement, actually. We could have said with the law, we're going to violate our principles of free speech and not let this parade happen. But instead, we're like, you can have your parade, but you know what? Everybody else gets free speech, too, and they all think you're wrong. And I think that was a much louder way of sending the signal. And so I remember several years ago, I was involved with the 40 Days for Life, and we got a call that there was a fight happening in the parking lot. And apparently, a mom was dragging her daughter into the abortion facility, and she's fighting her. She doesn't want to go. And like, she's holding onto the car, and she's dragging around the parking lot. She scraped up her knee. And so they called me to go and just check things out. So I get to the scene, and the cops had come and kind of sent everyone home, sent the girl home with her mom, and no abortion had taken place that day. And while we were there, her boyfriend, the husband of the baby, drove up. And he didn't want the abortion to happen either. And so we got connected with him and got connected with her through him. And we were able to reach out. And we got her connected with some pro-life lawyers who stood up on her behalf. She was a minor, but she had a legal team that were willing to work for her pro bono and stand up for her right to make this decision. We got her connected with a pregnancy like a maternal home where she lived with other unwed mothers, was able to still go to school. And I got to be there in the hospital and hold that baby that was in that parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And I had almost nothing to do with it, right? We were just out there praying. But it was, you know, the cops that came, you know who called the cops? It was the folks praying on the sidewalk. They see this fight happening.
No,
and they're like, oh my gosh, this mother's going to force this girl to have this abortion that she clearly doesn't want to have. She's like, don't make me kill my baby.
Wow.
So they call the police. But the police, and I remember, so the police were recommend. You know where the police were recommending for her to go to get counseling? The police recommended Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because this was at a different abortion facility
right.
than Planned Parenthood. But that's absolutely ludicrous. They clearly don't know that they're trying to sell that product.
Wow.
Right. And it was like, that's like sending you to somebody who sells something and asking them whether or not they're supposed to buy something. They have a clear conflict of interest. You know, Planned Parenthood doesn't refer to adoption agencies because that doesn't make them any money. Mm-hmm. If adoption agencies paid them a referral fee, but we'd see this magical transition.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, no adoption agency wants to give Planned Parenthood money. And if I were an adoption agency, I probably wouldn't want to either. But I remember being kind of really sad because there was no resource that the police knew about to recommend for this young woman other than the people who were selling the very thing that she didn't want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, the story had a happy ending. So tell me some other stories of what you've seen out on the sidewalk.
Absolutely. Well, and I do want to say that there's becoming more and more knowledge, thankfully, and awareness of the resources, the various resources in the community. I would actually highly recommend checking out PregnancyCentralTexas.com because that is a website that was created last year to have all of these places in one location. So it's a directory website for life-affirming resources in the Central Texas area, pregnancycentraltexas.com. And we've been able to send a lot of women there. We had one situation where a woman was walking into the abortion facility. She ignored the sidewalk counselor at first. But then as she was walking out, she came out a few minutes later. And so the sidewalk counselor just, you know, waved at her and gently motioned for her, asked her to come and talk. And the girl actually didn't have a clue. I guess she just didn't see the sidewalk counselor there before. And so she went over there. She talked to her. She said, "Well, I just found out that I'm pregnant." And I said, "Wow, how do you feel about that?" The sidewalk counselor asked her that. And so the girl said that she actually didn't know one way or another, and hadn't made a decision on what she would do. But she said before she knew it, she was walking out of there with an abortion appointment. And so I had asked her, the sidewalk counselor had asked her if the facility had shown her a sonogram, because that was at that point in time already law in the state of Texas that a woman must be offered to see a sonogram at least 24 hours prior to an abortion. She had not seen one. She had not been offered one. She just basically was taken through these steps without her permission. And the next thing she knew, she had an appointment. So the sidewalk counselor talked with her for a little bit, showed her some images, and thankfully she ended up choosing life and going to a pregnancy center instead.
Amen. Praise God. And imagine what would happen if they weren't there.
Yeah.
Out there praying. It really makes all of a difference. Just showing up can change the world. Just being there to pray and to talk when they're wanting to talk. And yeah, to trust the abortion industry to do things that would be in their not best interest, probably not the best thing in the world. But fortunately, we serve a God who's bigger than that. And
Amen.
Whether or not they follow the laws of this land, they will eventually stand before the judge of all creation. You're listening to Heather Gardner, who's the director of the Central Texas Coalition for Life, David Bruce, and Thomas Umstadt Jr. on today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge. Stay with us.
Today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge. Check the rear view mirror. God is nearer than he appears. Today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge.
The Bridge traffic brought to you by McCoy's. Let's go build something.
Hi, this is Brian at McCoy's Building Supply. I encourage our team to do business as unusual, and the foundation of that is giving first to others.
One last look at the bridge traffic. We have a few accidents, including Manshack Road and Ravenscroft Drive, Wells Branch Parkway and Tudor House Road, and North I-35 Service Road southbound and Rhinely Street. Over in the Austin weather area forecast, it's going to be a high of 88 degrees tomorrow on Tuesday with 40% chance of showers. On Wednesday, a high of 90 with 20% chance of showers. And on Thursday, with 30% chance of rain, it's going to be a high of 92 degrees. Low for tonight is going to get down to 72 degrees, but right now it's 90 here in Austin, 90 in Georgetown, 84 in Burnett, and 88 in Llano. Don't go anywhere, because Thomas Umstadt will be back on the Bridge 1120, today's Christian Talk, here shortly.
Don, tell us a little bit about how Round Rock Assisted Living got started.
The main reason we started this business was we ended up needing a place to take care of my mother. Had her in a few different places, but it was my mother, and that just wasn't good enough.
If you've got a family member and you're considering transitioning your loved one into an assisted care facility, well, you need to give Don Spears a call. The number is 512-632-7239. That's Round Rock Assisted Living, 512-632-7239.
We were blessed in a way to do something that we had always wanted to do anyway, and that was to open up our own assisted living at a time when we needed to provide care for her. And that's what we did. And it started out with my mother and two other ladies that we took care of, and then it just grew and grew.
Visit Round Rock Assisted Living, rrassistedliving.com.
Austin, Join us as we celebrate faith, family, and freedom with gospel music's most decorated female artist, Sandy Patty. Join Sandy Patty and the Hyde Park Baptist Worship Choir Tuesday, June 27th at 7 p.m. at Hyde Park Baptist Church. An evening of patriotic celebration, worship, and inspiration. Tickets available at Hyde Park Baptist Church, online at itickets.com, or by calling toll-free 844-HIS-SONG. That's 844-HIS-SONG. Celebrate faith, family, and freedom with Sandy Patty. Tickets on sale now.
Welcome. You're listening to Thomas Umstead Jr. on today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge. With me is David Bruce. And in pet news, they have invented a special tool for helping to take pet portraits.
Pet portraits.
So have you seen this thing? It's a popular thing on the internet of taking pictures of your pets. People have been doing
this. Oh, that's disgusting. They dress them up in little dresses and suits.
Oh, some of them are really cute.
No, they're not. That's ridiculous.
So the challenge, though, of a pet portrait is to get the dog or the whatever the pet is to look at the camera, right?
It's because they're too smart. Too intelligent.
Or they're just blissfully unaware that they're on
camera.
They're
totally embarrassed.
I can imagine some humans that wish they were to be blissfully unaware that they're on camera. Like me right now on the live stream, you know, I was always told you've got a face for radio, and no one told me that the day I'd be on radio is the day they started live streaming the show so people can see my face on Facebook.
You're a handsome young man.
You can see KTXW's
married. Still
face.
Have that blush of wedding.
There you go. I have the happiness of wedding.
You do.
Anyway, so they invented this smartphone holder that you can attach a treat to. So you put a little doggy treat on your smartphone.
Like
so you hold it up.
In front of
So you hold it up to take, and the dog looks up at the camera, and you can get a beautiful.
That's
pet
genius.
Portrait. It is genius.
That is. Was that on Shark Tank?
Maybe, I don't know.
Wow, that is genius.
So in a sense, this is not at all new. So if you remember watching the old animal shows that were popular in the 70s and 80s, like Homeward Bound.
Mr. Ed.
Yeah, where they'd have these animals and they'd have some voiceover actor talk as if they were the dog and they'd have this adventure with the dog. So the way that they would film those shows is they would have somebody off camera with a treat. And so every time the dog would look a certain way, they were looking for a treat. So there's always some dog handler off camera with the treat. And so now we have the smartphone version of that. So if you have a pet, you can check it out. It's called the FlexiPaw. So I don't have a pet. And if I did, I probably wouldn't get this.
That's what my photographer always did with me. Hey, kid, over here. Kid, yeah. Hey.
Get that with a lollipop
holder.
Well,
they
use the
toy. Yeah,
there you go.
Toy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen many children ignore many great things. Parents are desperately waving, please, for the love of God, just smile for one photo.
And if you have multiple children, there's always one kid that, you know, everybody's smiling except that one child.
And sometimes they never are able to get it. And so then that poor child, it's like, oh, you know, you're laughing now, but we will be laughing for the rest of your life. And then that child is crying in all the family pictures ever after. So I saw today, and this might break your heart, I don't know where you are in the great burger wars of 2017, but America's favorite burger chain is no longer In-N-Out Burgers.
In-N-Out.
So according to Fox News, Five Guys has unseated In-N-Out for the title of America's favorite burger restaurant brand. So this is based off of a Harris Poll annual Equitrend survey. So In-N-Out is now out.
They're good. They're good.
Five Guys. And I actually heard an interview, the CEO of Five Guys, he named it after his five sons, I believe, that helped him run the show.
Really?
Yeah. And for a long time, it was just like a family shop. And like their differentiating characteristic was that he would let his sons pick the ingredients and they wouldn't tell them how expensive they were. So they'd taste, you know, a dozen different mayonnaise and they would pick the one they liked the best, which often was the very most expensive mayonnaise.
And so, of course.
Murphy's very expensive law. Ingredients. And then they posted a survey of the most popular burger restaurant brands of 2017. And this survey makes me sad for several reasons.
First off, do you love burgers or are you just okay with burgers?
I love burgers. Okay. I love the burger scene here in Austin, too. We have
many
good burger places. This is one adjustment, though, I've had to go through. North Austin, packed full of burger places.
Right.
Burnett Road, Anderson. Mm-hmm. Like every block has a different kind of burger place that's amazing.
Yes.
The Tex-Mex in North Austin, is not as good. I didn't realize it was not as good until I moved to South Austin.
Really?
I am a new convert to South Austin.
Really?
And, oh, my gosh. The mediocre Tex-Mex places in South Austin are just as good as the good Tex-Mex places in North Austin.
Wow.
If you disagree, 512-452-1120, you can tell me of a good Tex-Mex place in North Austin. But there's not as many cool burger places in South Austin that I found yet. I'm still new, so there might be some cool ones tucked away. But none of the cool Austin burger places made the list, which probably makes sense. It's a national survey.
Well, yeah, it's a national survey.
But I really think Rudy's should be on here. Oh, sorry, not Rudy's. Mighty Fine.
Mighty Fine?
Owned by the same company.
Those are good.
Oh, such a good burger. And they have gluten-free buns, which if you're gluten-free, it's a really
Shortstop's
solid.
Not on here either.
Is that – are you being serious?
No.
You really like Shortstop burgers?
They make good food.
Okay.
And the fries are really, really good.
So the number one burger place is now Five Guys. Number two, as we know from the story, is In-N-Out. So they were in at number one, and they're out from number one. So much opportunity. And I always felt that was a really terrible burger name or restaurant name, because I always thought that the burgers would come in and they'd go out. That was the first thing I thought of when I heard the name. And I was like, how did this get past their branding team? But apparently people love In-N-Out burgers, although not as much as they did
before. That founded In-N-Out's a Christian.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I need to ask her forgiveness for disparaging the name of her company. Happy Forgiveness Day, everyone. So what do you think number three is?
Someplace I've never heard of.
It is Shake Shack.
You're right. I've never heard of it.
Which is pretty sad, actually, if you're a burger place and a Shake Shack is beating you out. I have a rule of thumb. If a restaurant puts the kind of food on its name, you can trust that food in that restaurant will be done well. Rosie's Tamale House, amazing tamales.
Uh-huh.
And that has not steered me wrong this whole time. If they pick a specific menu item.
Well, I'll bet Shake Shack has great milkshakes.
They had better, especially if they're going to be this high. Now, this is the survey is on the restaurant overall, so it may be that their shakes are so amazing they're ranking in the burger poll.
Applying logic again.
Yeah, these surveys, sometimes they just ask them, what's your favorite restaurant? And they don't say, what's your favorite burger?
I see.
I don't know exactly what questions they asked. So number four, and this one will make you even more sad, and you have heard of this one.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
It's the place that doesn't cut corners, Wendy's.
I don't understand that.
I've never really cared for Wendy's burgers myself. Of course, I'm not really a big fan of any of the mass market burger places.
Yeah.
I like your local, you know, we have so many good local.
I like Whataburger.
Key Boston, weird.
Whataburger's good.
Hey, Whataburger made the list.
They did?
But they're not next. Next is Culver's at number five.
Those are good. I've eaten there a couple times.
Okay, I've never had a Culver's.
There's one in North
burger.
Austin. Yep. You got to come back to North Austin.
North Austin's where it's at. It's the burger capital of Austin. Yeah.
I'm over surprised. By the Domain.
Yeah, no one's called to disprove me yet. 512-452-1120. If you think there are that Austin, North Austin should not have the crown of best burgers in Austin.
Culver's is actually better known for their milkshakes or their custard or whatever they call it.
Fascinating. See, if you went to Mighty Fine, you'd have milkshakes made out of Bluebell ice cream. I bet Culver's doesn't have Bluebell ice cream. That's a good Texas milkshake right there. Speaking of Texas, our own Whataburger comes
There's
in at number six.
So, that's a burger.
Yeah, I didn't realize this but Whataburger is actually based in Texas. So it started, I think, in Corpus Christi, and it's still kind of regional. I don't know if it's reached the
Which
whole—
Which made me surprised that it hit the list.
Well, it was voted, I know, by Texas Magazine or Texas Monthly as the number one burger in Texas. So it may be, I remember when I was in college, Bluebell was only in like 17% of markets where it was sold, but it was the number three most popular ice cream in the country. So even though only like one out of five people could even buy it, those one out of five people bought so much of it that it ranked in the top five.
I had friends that would ship it to New York.
That is true commitment right there.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not cheap. That's
no,
really
it wasn't
expensive.
Cheap.
Not as expensive as those flowers, though, that I got for my wife. Yeah, $4 flowers plus $200 ticket makes really expensive.
I've never
flowers.
Spent that much on flowers, Thomas. Never.
Well, it's easy. Just buy the flowers and then speed and then get a ticket, and there you go. Really expensive flowers. All right, the next one, and this, I just don't believe this. McDonald's, really? Number seven? I mean,
It's a special sauce on the Big Mac.
Have you had the special sauce? It's just mayonnaise with pepper in
That's the only thing I would ever buy at McDonald's is a Big Mac.
I have meant, to be fair to McDonald's, I haven't been there recently.
But you have to really look for the meat. It's really small.
It's a really big, fluffy bun. Where's the beef?
With lots of sauce. I love the sauce.
Oh, that's an old dig, and yet still a good one. All right, number eight is Sonic.
Can't drag my wife to a Sonic.
So this is an interesting difference between me and my wife. My wife grew up in a small town, and in a small town...
Oh, Sonic rules.
Sonic is like where all the cool kids go to hang out. And so she has all these fond memories of Sonic and will tell me about different drinks
Sonic.
That were discontinued. Like when I think of... They have all these like slushies and Slurpees.
They're
and
always changing
milkshakes.
Recipes.
Yeah, and apparently they have all these crazy flavors.
Yep.
And we've gone there a few times since we've gotten together when we were dating and now that we're married. And... I look at the menu and I'm just overwhelmed by the amount of color. It's like none of those are natural food colors.
I'm overwhelmed by the girls on the roller skates. It's like, whoa, how come you don't drop that?
Oh, I've never seen the roller skates.
No? Though. Oh, you need to come North Austin.
That's where all the best burgers are.
We have rollers with the waitresses on roller skates.
All right. So there you go. So Sonic, which to be fair, I don't think I've ever had an actual burger at Sonic. So I don't know how good the burger is.
Well, I know where you and I are going for lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, dinner at Sonic. Okay. Number nine is Smash Burger.
Sounds fun.
Which, again, where are these names coming from? We have Mighty Fine as a perfect, which, by the way, is not sponsoring this segment. I think they've sponsored the show in the past,
but I have not received
a single penny from Mighty Fine. My love of this is pure and unadulterated. In fact, before we go on to number 10, I would just like to say Mighty Fine won, or the management company behind Mighty Fine, won the Malcolm Baldrige Award for Excellence.
Wow.
Which is like the Nobel Prize for Business Efficiency. Mm. The only other company in all of Austin that's ever won that award, I believe, is St. David's Medical Center.
Wow.
So, IBM won it 1 year, and they have a campus here, so I guess if you can count them. But like we studied the winners of this award in business school when I was going through business school. So it's this really high award. And if you go to Mighty Fine, you experience it. Like it's run so efficiently. You have a really good interaction with the person.
And
it's
the people
super
are happy.
Clean. People enjoy working there. And the food tastes great, and it's just a fun celebration experience. It's highly efficient. So anyway, they should be on this list. So the number 10 most popular burger place in Texas is Steak and Shake.
Hmm. Steak and Shake. You skipped over Smash Burger.
Oh, Smash Brother?
Yeah, Smash Burger.
Okay. Smash Burger is number 9.
Yeah, I don't think there's a Steak and Shake in Austin either.
Steak and Shake. Yeah, which again, doesn't sound like if you asked me what a Steak and Shake Plus was, I wouldn't think that it's a burger place. So anyway.
Is Dirty still open?
I don't know.
Dirties. Have you ever been to Dirties?
Top Notch is good.
Top Notch is great. Yeah.
Call us tomorrow. Let us know what your favorite burger place is in Austin. You have been listening to David Bruce and Thomas Umstead Jr. on today's Christian Talk 1120, The Bridge.
Okay, let's take a quick look at the weather. Partly
today's forecast, God rains and the sun shines. Online at thebridge1120.com. Today's Christian Talk 1120, The Bridge.